Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Lila Coogan,
who's starring in Anastasia, the Broadway musical that's now making its national tour down to the Kennedy Center now through Sunday, November 25th. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this is an amalgamation of two 20th Century Fox films, right? Animated 97 movie and then the classic like 50s movie with Yul Brynner and Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah, it's wild. It's like a little bit of both and then another completely new story. So it's pretty cool. Our writer, Terrence McNally, actually like saw both films and then was like, okay, I know what I'm doing, and then did a completely different story. So, but it's great. If you like the movies, you'll like the show because the character qualities are the same.
When did you see, did you watch both as a kid or just the animated one? Or what was your first encounter with the story, I guess?
I've seen the animated one.
Okay.
And I
no shame in that.
Loved it. I was obsessed with her. I thought she was spunky. I loved Bartok. I loved Rasputin. So that was my first introduction to the Anastasia world.
Awesome. Remind us, if our listeners didn't see it, remind us of the general premise of the show, like the plot.
Yeah, so the show is about this mystery of Anastasia and whether she's alive or not in Russia. And we meet Anya, who is our heroine of the story, and she may or may not be the princess because she does not know what happened to her in her childhood. She wakes up with amnesia one day. Mm-hmm. So if she's the princess or not, you'll have to come see and find out.
And the actual history was pretty dark. I mean, wasn't she killed at a young, like in her teens? I mean, I remember Anastasia screamed in vain in the Rolling Stones song. But didn't she die young in reality?
Yeah, unfortunately, all the Romanovs were murdered. So that's why it's a legend, because they've found the evidence that she's not actually alive anymore. Right. But some people think maybe that her grandmother, who was alive at the time, like released her from royalty so that she could survive. And it's kind of like a nice sentiment to have, but unfortunately,
the legend kind of grew,
exactly.
And there was a mystery and a lore about what if she actually survived,
yeah,
and then the story came out of there.
Imposters, right, that people know about. One of them moved to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So yeah, things like that.
So let's get happier thoughts. It is a musical, and it's been dominating Broadway for, I guess, like 2 years. I think it came out.
Yeah, roughly 2 years. Yeah.
Tony nominated. Remind us some of the songs.
So the songs that you'd be familiar with are Once Upon a December, Journey to the Past. What's another big one? Oh, Learn to Do It. That's a big one that lots of people love. But there's actually like 21 like new songs. So if you like the older songs from the movie, you're going to love the new songs. They're from the same composer and lyricist team, Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahern. So you're going to love it.
What are some of the highlights of the newer ones, in your opinion?
I think my favorite new song would have to be In a Crowd of Thousands, which is my duet with Stephen Brower, who plays Dimitri. It's not only like a beautiful song to sing, but I love getting to play with him every night. It always feels fresh and new. And it's a really pivotal moment where she learns two really, really important things about herself. So
awesome. And what exactly do we see? Because when you think this era of time, you think it's going to be like all these lush costumes. Explain sort of what we're going to see.
They're the most gorgeous costumes designed by Linda Cho. They're anything that you could ask for in a gown, she has put into these gowns. And it's so wonderful. And it goes from Russia in this time where people don't have anything. And like she's so wildly creative. Like my jacket in the first act is supposed to be a men's coat that I found and am using to keep me warm, things like that. And they're like kind of bigger and they're not as glamorous. And then we get into Paris and all of a sudden color comes in and there's jewels and there's like big poofy skirts, and it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing to get to wear them every night.
And in addition to the costumes, how about the sets behind you? Describe what that's going to look like.
They're so cool.
We're talking like palaces, you know, what are we looking at?
Well, we actually are super blessed that we have this amazing projection behind us, and it takes us like all over the world, and they're so beautiful. They move, so like you feel like you're actually in the outdoor setting, and we have like a moving train. We have, like palaces, the Paris Opera. It's wild. The set is something special.
Awesome. And just in terms of playing your role, it's got how fun is it to play sort of that, you know, well, not only a famous figure, but like an amnesiac. Like, how do you actually? Well, is there anything acting wise, like little choices you make here and there to kind of bring that part of it out?
Yeah, that was actually something I really had to like work on and play with for myself. Because at first I was trying to like play amnesia, and I realized that wasn't working for me because nothing was going on there. So I literally have to imagine like I'm in the moment that's happening in my head, because she has a lot of flashbacks and like PTSD, and it's a really fun thing to get to do, like realizing things about yourself on stage. It's like one of the most fun and like informative experiences you can have, and she gets to do that all the time in this show, which is great.
Now, you just said that there's a lot of flashbacks. How does that actually manifest itself on stage? Like, you know, does time stop and then we come over here on stage? Like, or how is that visualized?
Her flashbacks are actually as she's experiencing them. So yeah. You're never going to like go, you'll go back in time in the beginning of the show to set up what's going on. But once I hit the stage, the flashbacks are as if she was having, well, you're seeing what's in her mind. Right. And I think that's what's really, really cool
about
it.
You're actually in them acting.
Yeah, it's not, you're not going back and seeing someone else play Anastasia. You're seeing my character see what's going on in her head. And I think that is super, super cool.
Right. Is there a part of the show that, I mean, you've only done it, I guess, one night here at Kennedy Center, but you've, you know, we're on your third stop, I guess. Is there a part in the show you look forward to the most every night? And you can't say the whole thing. Your favorite scene to act?
I do love the Dowager scene. It's probably the breaking point of the show where things start to really get moving in a way. And I get to work with Joy Franz, who is this incredible actress. She's a powerhouse. So, and every night it's a little bit different. And that's what I love, is that it's every night we're really just being honest with one another. And I could not ask for a better scene partner in her. And so I do look forward a lot to that number as well, or that scene. It's not a number, but
yeah.
We do sing a little bit at the end, but it's not a full song. So
explain why, if we have families listen to this, or even a date night, like, why is it good for all ages?
Yeah, I think Anastasia is great for all ages because there's a character for everyone. So you may relate to Anya and she may be your cup of tea and that's your girl. But then some people might relate to Vlad or the Dowager. Everyone has someone they can relate to in this story. You could even relate to our villain Gleb because he's so complex and struggling with things that a lot of people, I'm sure, struggle with nowadays. So, yeah, there's no one character that you're supposed to relate to. You can relate to all of them. And I think that opens the door to all ages. And, you know, it's an adventure. So you don't have to be a kid to enjoy an adventure.
Very true. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you get into acting? You know, high school theater arts, or what, you know, how did that happen?
I grew up in Westchester County, Ossining, New York. Yay, Ossining. Go O. And,
shut up.
And, I started doing theater because my friend Madeline asked me to audition for Annie with her, and I
didn't. Not Anastasia, Annie.
No, Annie. Like, the sun will come out tomorrow. And
did you bum down?
I didn't get it.
Aw.
But that's okay, because the person who was running the theater group that I auditioned for was like, please come back, like, and you'll be in the next show in the ensemble, whatever. And I ended up doing Gingerbread Man number 3, I think, in Hansel and Gretel.
Nice.
And it was wonderful. And from then on, I was like, oh, I really, really want to do this. And I've just been super blessed. When I was 13, I made my Broadway debut in Mary Poppins. And from then on, it was kind of like, I always knew this was what I wanted to do. I did take like a little break in high school to figure out if this was for sure what I wanted to do. This was a big science nerd in high school. And then I went to Syracuse University to study musical theater because I had applied for science and musical theater. And every time I got into a science school, I was like, but I kind of wish I had gotten into that musical theater school. So that was like,
you could tell deep down.
My gut telling me that that's what I should pursue instead. And yeah, I graduated in 2015. Moved back to New York because I'm from New York.
Coming home.
Yeah, exactly. I literally moved back home. My parents were so thrilled. And
you're lucky because a lot of people have to leave home to go to Broadway. And you're like, I'm coming home. Very saving on rent.
Well, eventually I was like, I have to get out.
Yeah, well, that's the catch 22.
My parents were like, get out. They had that stick. They're like, get out.
No, get out stick. You know.
Love you, Mom and Dad. And yeah, so then I just started auditioning, and it took a long time for me to find my footing. And I think that that's something I want to be honest about. It took me 3 years to get a job, and then it just happened to be this one. Yeah. So I'm very, very blessed.
And now you're seeing the country.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Anastasia on Broadway before you had auditioned for this?
I saw it right when it opened, because the composer and lyricist, Lynn and Steven, have been a part of my life for a very long time. So,
what do you mean by that? What do you mean? Tell us.
So I did a show with them a very long time ago when I was like 13, 14. They were in it with me. We performed together, and it was great.
Yeah, they were Gingerbread number 1 and 2?
No. This is a different show. This is called Pamela's First Musical, and it's about how a musical happens. So they played a composer and lyricist, which is really cute. And so then we met that way, and then I auditioned for a show with them like 2 or 3 years later, and they picked me to play the lead. And it was a workshop, so it wasn't like a public thing or whatever. And then from then on, they just have always like kept in touch and been a part of my life. And, you know, when I came in for Anastasia, I didn't tell them that I was coming in. I wanted it to be a surprise. So they were like, wait, what a minute. Wait, why are you here? Like, are you auditioning for our show? I was like, yes. Yeah. But because I had known them for so long, and just they hold such a special place in my heart, I was like, as soon as the show opened, I was like, well, I have to see it because Lynn and Steven wrote it. So,
yeah.
So I saw it and I loved it, and I didn't ever think I would actually get a chance to audition, let alone play Anya. So dreams really do come true.
Absolutely. Now you're at the Kennedy Center. Just in closing, how exciting is it to be at a place like that, putting this show on, and then also getting to tour around the country with this? This is really exciting for you.
Yeah, it's super, super exciting. I mean, I've dreamed since I was a little kid of performing on the Kennedy Center stage. So to do this is just, it's like pinching yourself every day. Like, how did you get so blessed? And then like just touring the country, it's been wonderful seeing all these cities that I wouldn't have gone to otherwise. Like Pittsburgh or DC or, you know, San Francisco, I've been and I'll go back, and I love them and I've been there a bunch of times. But if you told me, oh, let's go to Greenville, South Carolina, I would have been like, I'm not going to Greenville. And I went to Greenville last week and I fell in love. It was the cutest city, and I'm totally going back at some point. So,
and that's the thing, you never know unless something like this takes you there.
Exactly. So that's what's so wonderful, I think, about touring, is you meet new people and you fall in love with all these different cultures, because every state has like their own culture, and it's just super exciting to get to do.
Absolutely. Well, again, everybody, it's Anastasia the Musical at the Kennedy Center now through Sunday, November 25th. And we'll use that same get out stick. Get out there. Get out and see it, everybody. All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.